Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
I sure helped him bring this back. That was his second number one song way back in the day. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and the world is happy about that. I'm the only one. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Adrienne Ott is here. Adrienne's our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member. 10 years she's been hanging out with us. How about that, folks? We got her right out of high school. She's the author of Exponential Influence. She's also the author of this 24-Hour Customer. She's an award-winning author, I might point out. Adrienne, thanks again for being here. She's a consultant to companies not unlike yours and helping people get their businesses off the ground. We're talking about that right now. What should you focus on when you're launching a new offering? And you know, you were pointing this out as we went to the break, Adrienne. You know, you don't have to be a startup to make the mistake of focusing on the product and not on the humans using it. Companies do this all the time. And they don't, not only do they not pay attention to the product and how it tastes, but how it hits people, how it affects people. I mean, well, as I say, I keep pointing this out. Will the dogs eat the dog food? How do they think about it? When I deliver a proposal, I don't just make sure the proposal is right. I make sure the room is right. I make sure the acoustics is right. If I send them something in the mail, I make sure when they open the box, it comes out of the box the right way. That's all part of the human experience you have to pay attention to, don't you?
You do, and it matters. People pay attention to all of that, and it can change the experience.
Right. There's no question about it. So we were talking about demographics, and the only thing that I see about the demographic part is when you and I were coming up, you're a lot younger than me, but I think you've been around long enough to remember this. When you and I were coming up, we probably had quite a bit of customer interactions before we graduated from high school. Would that be safe to say, did you have some kind of, you were a babysitter, I flipped hamburgers. You know, I worked on a farm. We sold things off the farm. You know what I mean? I had customer interactions. So I kind of knew a little bit about talking to customers. The younger generations, because of a lot of different reasons, they're less likely, I think, as a demographic to have had a job before they graduated from high school than my generation did. And I wonder if that has a little bit of an impediment to them. What do you think?
I think that's an interesting hypothesis. I haven't really looked at that, but given how people are on social and people don't interact. I flipped hamburgers and did all that stuff. I taught tennis and all that stuff in high school and early in college. That's an interesting idea because a lot of students now are going to SAT study sessions instead of working at McDonald's.
Well, that's exactly right. And here's another thing that I'm concerned about. I've got a friend who's a professor of entrepreneurship at a major Division I school, and he polls freshman entrepreneur students. They're coming to college day one to be an entrepreneurial graduate, and he polls them about their opinion of profit, the concept of profit. And 70 to 80% in his polling are negative on profit. Profit is not a good thing. These are entrepreneurial students.
Wow. Now,
to me, when I was growing up, you never heard anybody say, I want to start a nonprofit. I hear that all the time among young people. My point is, I wonder if they're missing some early imprinting on the concept of the economy. And that's causing people to think more about what they're selling instead of who they're selling it to. What do you think?
I think that's interesting. I haven't seen that with my students, but I'm working with graduate students primarily and PhDs and postdocs. So they've been through the college. They may have had a job in college, and my students are really hardworking. I don't know. I mean, the one thing that's interesting, you know, you mentioned how they're distant because they haven't worked at the hamburger flipping jobs or whatever. But one thing they do have access to is social media, and I'm wondering if that might be a really broad-based support, a way for them to get opinions on things.
Yeah,
and,
I would hope so.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I just wondered if what you're seeing about that. What else can we do to help these people focus more on the who and not on the how?
Yeah, I want to make one more point on demographics, if I could.
Okay.
Because the one thing I do see a lot of is, it may not be age-related, but what I do see more is if people have been in operations or finance or engineering or whatever, they're close. They're accustomed to building things. They're mm-hmm. accustomed to trying to figure out the how you do something,
mm-hmm.
but they haven't really spent time on the who. And the who is what they miss. I mean, they're really good at doing their spreadsheets and everything, but it's a waste of time if you've built a spreadsheet and you don't even know
That's right.
who the customer is.
Well, that's exactly right. And as you pointed out, corporate America, the stories are people write books about the companies that spent millions, if not billions, on something only to scrap it later because the dogs wouldn't eat the dog food.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's amazing the amount of money that is spent building products. And they haven't, and you go out and you ask, and this happens at big companies too. I see it all the time. You go out and you're looking at it and you're like, okay, how many customers have you talked to about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see them hem and you'll see them haw. And actually, some of the investors now are requiring what are called customer discovery. They want to see the interviews. They want to mm-hmm. see the write-ups of the interviews of the 500 that they did. And I think big companies should adopt this as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is not limited.
And when we come back, let's talk about some ways that small business owners can do this. The people who are already established, they may be launching something new, changing mm-hmm. direction of the company, evolving, reinventing themselves. Let's talk about how they can do that after the break. I need your website, Adrian.
ExponentialEdge.com.
ExponentialEdge.com. That's the name of her company. And she and I will be right back. Adrian Ott, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.